Hello and welcome to episode 177 of the Rustical Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And that's as close to a slow, chill intro as I can give you. That's that's what meditative sounds like when you still have to intro an episode. How are you all doing?
Well, who are we playing?
Yeah, I don't know who I'm playing anymore.
So,
that's how
so
chill I am.
So chill, yeah. He's forgotten to do the intro.
Well, here's the thing. You know, are we all playing? Aren't we just all always playing in some ways?
Zolf Smith.
Hamid Salaharun Altahan.
Sell Sight Bottom.
And Azu.
So it just happens without you now, Alex. You've trained us so well.
Good. Good. This makes me so happy.
I love that he can't mess up the order anymore. That was a trick he could only pull with in-person recordings.
Yeah,
we tried that in the first remote recording. I pointed at the screen and then went, wait.
No! Oh, no.
So now we get to always do the order and he can't mess with it.
Yeah, take that.
So I'll have to find other ways to mess with you. Speaking of which, let's go into an alternate mind space together. But separate. So, I'll let people bid for it. Who wants to go first?
Why don't we go in the order we had before? So it's
because I don't remember it. So I'm vamping around it. I have no memory of the original order.
Helen, me.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go. We'll do that then. So, starting back with Zolf then.
Mm-hmm.
You have clearly moved through a significant portion of the city with your eyes closed. It is clearly making it easier for you to do so. In fact, it's reached the point where, as you're walking, you will stop, as if, like, just deciding to, obviously step around something just based entirely on instinct, and then continue.
Cool.
So this is not just the way is clear for you, like you are actively, sort of, weirdly enough, just your instincts are right. You feel yourself pass through the denser city, with the closer alleyways and so on, and then you feel the space start to open out a lot more. And as far as you can tell, you appear to be heading back towards the dock where you first came in.
Sure.
Eventually, you feel the telltale smack of shoes upon actual boardwalk as opposed to the thicker palisade that makes up the rest of the city.
Also, slight clarification, I didn't come in on the same dock as everyone else, so is it back to the ship or is it back to the lift?
It's back to the ship.
Cool. I will carry on until I either hear him say hello or literally walk into him.
You continue walking and then feel yourself brought to a stop.
Cool.
Naturally, I should say.
Then I will open my eyes.
You are right at the edge of the dock. To your left is a completely fine and original Vengeance, in inverted commas. It is shipshape and ready to go with no issues, no concerns, no problems whatsoever. And Wild is sat with his legs dangling over the edge of the dock, looking out towards the apparently now clear rolling hills, rolling mountains and forests and so on. Even from behind, you can see that he is slightly younger, and your first impression is that this appears to be the Wild that you were meeting all that time back in Paris. Well-dressed, good hair, at ease. But again, this is from behind. He is staring straight out and you are immediately behind him.
Oh, good. Insufferable as well. Brilliant. I'll walk up to the edge and sit down beside him with my legs dangling over the edge too.
Another thing to notice, there is nothing underneath this palisade. This place is apparently just hanging in space.
Sure.
There is landscape underneath. It's not like a yawning void or anything, but it's very, very far away. And it just appears like this city is a fixed point in the sky, is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Oh, I guess because the bear is a living thing as well, and there's no other living things around.
And so Wild is just there, legs dangling over the edge, just looking out.
Sure.
You can see he does not have the scar.
Sure. Hey.
He turns and sees you. Yeah, he's off. Turns back and looks out at the horizon.
Do you know what's happened? Do you know what's going on?
Yeah, it feels like for the first time I get to have a break.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess that's what I've come to talk to you about.
Could just join me. That's okay too. You know. He pats the deck next to him. Room for one more, etc.
I'm not done yet, and I'm here to ask if you are or not, because you can come with me if you want.
Wild kind of looks out a bit. I mean, you say if I want, but that's never really, really what it's about, is it? It's less if I want than if I can, if I get to.
No, not in this case. If you want, I will turn around and go back and, you know, leave you here. And that
you don't
is,
need to. You're welcome to. You're welcome to stay.
I'm not done yet. I don't want to stay here.
Why not? Just.
I've got things to do. And
yeah,
I've
but
got.
Yeah, you always will. That's the. If there's one thing that I've learned, is that there's always something to do. That doesn't mean that you actually have to do it. It just means that there's something to do.
I've got things I want to do. And if you don't, that's fine. Well, yeah, no, that's fine. And I will leave you here. It's up to you.
How about we just have a sit?
Yeah.
For once. For a bit.
Fine. Do you want to talk now that we have... I mean, I don't know if time's even moving, so maybe as much time as we want, or, I don't know, maybe not. But, yeah. Or we can just sit here. I don't know. This is, I guess, sort of your whole space, so...
Ah, you say that. He looks over at the ship. If this was my space, I would be somewhere a lot nicer. You know, filled with soft beds. And ideally, there would be, you know, music. But apparently...
Yeah, well, you could always learn an instrument and...
Oh, I told you what happened when I tried to learn an instrument, right?
Yeah, you might have all the time you want now.
I'm going to use this opportunity to jump to Helen. Yes, Helen.
Yes, I'm here.
So, we last left you in a museum being shushed.
Yeah, I'm heading towards
You were heading
shusher.
Towards the shush, right?
Yes.
Are you attempting, this is going to sound odd given the scenario, are you attempting to move, inverted commas, stealthily?
No.
Okay. You are echoing and clanging throughout the space. It is someone in full plate armour walking across stone floors in large, echoey chambers.
Okay, once Azu realises how loud she is, because she does have, you know, a sense of what is appropriate and proper for...
The susurration is definitely turning actively hostile as you are clanging around.
She's going to try to be quiet, but it's very difficult when you're just wearing metal... And you're on the stone floor.
The more you attempt to be quiet, the louder you are and the angrier the hushing sounds are.
Sorry, she says.
Shh.
Sorry.
Shh. Clank, clank.
Howard.
All you're getting is hushing sounds and disapproval from the unseen people of the museum as you clank around the space, making far too much noise and clearly unwelcome.
Mr. Carter? Professor Carter?
Can you give me a perception check?
Yeah. Oh, good. 25.
You hear an ever so quiet scritch-scritch of pencil on paper in an adjoining room.
I find that room and open the door.
There are no doors here. There are only doorways.
Oh.
As you clank over it, shh, quiet, honestly.
A nightmare.
Just so... disapproving.
No!
Everyone's so disapproving. And you find yourself in another ancient history room. In terms of the organisation here, it makes no sense, to be clear. I realise you're not an expert, but it doesn't appear to be arrayed by, era, geography. It really does just appear to be a random assortment of this is ancient stuff. It's more like... if you asked a kid to describe a museum, what would be designed as opposed to an actual, organised taxonomic category system or anything like that?
Sure.
Inside this room is a similarly, apparently random assortment of ancient artifacts. And there are a couple of stone benches in the middle of the room. You can hear the scratching sounds coming from one of them. There doesn't appear to be anyone in the room.
Howard?
A small boy pokes his head out from underneath the bench, tousle-haired, looks at you very wide-eyed, and then ducks back, and the scratching sounds stop.
Oh, it's baby cat!
Okay.
You've broken Helen!
Very...
Give me sense motive.
Yeah. 25 again.
Ah, there you go. The child is clearly terrified of you.
Oh. Azu, how close is she to the bench?
How close you want to be to the bench.
Okay, that's fine. What she will do then is she will sit down, mm-hmm. and then she's going to be like, I'm probably still too big. And then she's going to, like, lie down on her front. And, like...
Clank, 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 clank.
And she's going to try and, like, see under the bench.
The child, Carter, is scooched underneath the stone bench in such a way that you would not have been able to see him from the doorway. Mm. He appears to have a number of school books laid out on the floor, seemingly haphazardly, and he appears to be sketching something in what appears to be a maths book.
Oh. Hello, Howard.
Hello. I can be quieter. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm very loud.
Yeah. you might not want to be. They don't like that here.
Well,
we shouldn't really be in here. They don't like kids in here.
Well, who cares what they think, hmm?
I mean, I do. Don't you?
No.
Why not? They're really angry, though.
Well, sometimes people are angry, and it's not really your fault.
Doesn't seem to make a difference.
Hmm. People angry at you a lot?
You know. School's just rubbish.
Oh, really?
And everyone in it's rubbish. He catches himself being a bit loud and kind of hushes back down.
Huh. What would you like to do?
I don't know. No one's asked me that. I don't want to do maths. Hate maths. It's rubbish.
Oh, I'm bad at maths as well.
It was fine when it was just numbers, but it's not just numbers. It's letters too. Why are there letters in maths? That don't make any sense.
I know.
That's not maths, that's English. But I hate English as well. It's all just become one big pile of...
What do you like doing?
Quite like drawing. It's quite fun.
Can I see?
Oh, well, holds the book close a little bit. Well, no, I'm not really meant to be drawing, though, so... I don't think that's... I mean, yeah, all right. Just thrusts it, unceremoniously at your face.
Okay, what's he drawn?
He appears to be doing a bunch of, at first... So there's, two parts of the book. There's the first half, where he's just... By the way, he's just writing over the maths that's in there, which, by the way, even to your eye, you're just like, yeah, that's wrong. That's that's just all wrong. Like, this... Oh, no. Oh, mate, come on. He's just sketching straight over the top of the working that's in there. It starts with a series of sort of still lifes of the stuff within the museum, it seems like. However, they're growing increasingly elaborate as he starts adding extraneous details, where it's like, it's not just a broken pillar. It's a broken pillar as part of a building. It's a broken pillar as part of a building which has a large crowd of people looking up. It's a broken pillar as part of a building with a large crowd of people looking up as a ceremony goes past. And it's just him slowly, seemingly elaborating on the things that are held within the museum. It's very good.
Yes, that's exactly what she says. She says, you're a very good artist.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter though, does it?
Of course it matters.
Well, no, it doesn't. I've still got to do maths.
Well, only for a little while.
That's not what they say.
Who's they?
What do you mean they? Kind of pokes his head out from under the thing and just looks at one of the other rooms and then pokes back underneath the bench.
Hmm. Well,
it doesn't matter what you want to do, you just end up doing what everyone tells you to do anyway.
As he says, that's not always the case. Listen, I think that they might not come in here while I'm here. Oh, I'm Azu, by the way.
Hey, Azu.
Hello, Howard.
Do you want some space under the bench?
I'm not sure I'll fit, I'm afraid.
All right. I am going to jump to Cell.
Yeah.
Cool!
Cell.
Mm-hmm.
We last left you in a tunnel with a long, let's say, mat. I forgot what the word was. What was the word I used?
I think you said mat on the floor. Like fabric or woven the word. Thing.
Yeah, I kept wanting to say tapestry, but you don't put tapestries on the floor. That stops being a
you
tapestry.
You mean like
it starts
a carpet?
That's the word. Right. Yeah, no, it's a woven mat. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
And you were in a corridor mm-hmm. that led towards a warm looking fire round a bend.
Cool. Cell walks along.
Heading along, you hear the distinct sounds of movements seemingly echoing through the corridor, sort of like a gentle scritching here, a gentle scuttle there. It is not like drawing nearer or anything. It's just this constant sound of gentle movements all over the space.
Cell, as they walk along, will be quietly talking, assuming that there may be smaller creatures around, that mm-hmm. one of those may be Sasra. So it's a reassuring kind of tone, like the kind of thing you
yeah.
do with a small child or an animal where you're not sure what kind of the language is that they might be speaking, so kind of indraconic, but very gently kind of, hey, Sasra, it's me, Cell. If you remember, this is a really lovely tunnel.
There is a loud cry from further down the tunnel. Hey!
Oh!
Hey, Cell!
Hey, Sasra, buddy, how are you doing?
Hi, you, come on.
Cell jogs down to meet Sasra.
So you turn a corner in the tunnel mm-hmm. and then find yourself opening into a larger but not large space.
Mm-hmm.
It's at this point that things get a little bit weird for your perspective because mm-hmm. first of all, you find yourself face to face with a Sasra who is your height.
Right, yep. I almost sort of expected that.
Yeah, the space around you, it feels like someone took a quick sketch of a chemistry lab.
Right.
And smashed it into Mr. Tumnus's study.
Right, gotcha. Yep.
That's the quickest, easiest way I can describe this.
So it's heaven, basically.
Think a combination of, like, creature comforts.
Yep.
So there is a fire. It's not a fireplace. It is an mm-hmm. open fire leading to a hole in the ceiling, which seems mm-hmm. to be taking the smoke. And it appears that everything around the space is, again, it has comfort in mind, even if it's not elaborate. It's like, think more cushions and rugs mm-hmm. and things like that. There appears to be something cooking on the fire. And around the place, it feels more like things have been kept by virtue of just being interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that there is a full chemistry setup bubbling away, so much as like there are the makings of a big elaborate setup that is currently being assembled by Sasra, apparently.
Cool.
Hey,
wow.
Sal.
Hey, this place is wonderful. What are you making?
Sasra's there going, okay, so I have some 6mm condensers, but I'm considering swapping to the 10mm because they just seem to have, you know, a better precipitation rate. But do I go smaller and just double the length? Do I double the precipitation length and recurve it back in?
Well, what are you trying to achieve?
I mean, what do you think? She just gestures to the rest of the room and then starts assembling two apparently utterly incompatible pieces.
Sasra, do you know where we are?
I mean, yeah, it's my place.
It's a lovely place.
I know. That's why it's mine.
That's...
Aww.
I mean, you are lovely and you deserve lovely things.
I do. You're right. You can stay. Right, so Sasra's there holding a tripod mm-hmm. and a Bunsen burner and then just kind of holding them both and then puts the Bunsen burner, like, in the tripod and leaves it and it isn't quite right. Nothing's... It feels like someone's trying to build a chemistry set, but everything is just
yep.
at cross purposes. The dots aren't connecting for some reason.
Sasra, I'm going to stay here with you a while, but there is, if you understand what's happened, right? There was a ship, and things went wrong, and we
we
lost.
No,
you.
I know. I've just got to sort this. If I could just sort this, then we can get on
then
with things.
Then we can
go? I just need to sort this.
What I'm
okay.
thinking right. is, Do you need help? What I'm saying, Sasra, is you can. Do you want? We lost you, but there's a way back, and you. Do you want
to
come?
No, yeah, that's fine. We just need to finish this, and then we can do whatever. It's fine. I just need to finish here.
Okay. Well, let me help.
Okay. Cool. Right. Okay. So, where does this go? At which point you're looking at an enormous, like the size of Sasra conical flask, just unnecessarily massive, and the setup so far could probably fit on a small table.
This may be a rolling point because
yep.
Stella's trying to work out if this is an unsolvable puzzle.
Give me a... I will allow you to pick either between knowledge engineering or craft alchemy. Probably, no, you know what? Craft alchemy for this one.
Okay.
Lydia is so clever, it would never cross my mind that it's unsolvable. I'd just be like, okay, great, let's go.
That is a 31.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You reckon this is an unsolvable puzzle, and that the second that you solve a problem, no, you see, because that just makes a bigger problem further down the line. That's just going to be this. Just it clearly will.
It's that play Factorio.
Yes, very much so. Yes.
Cell has. They did like one or two adjustments before kind of realizing this, and they kind of breathe in and turn to Sasra and say. I think what this is, Sasra, this is the ultimate puzzle here, and it's wonderful. I can see so many different ways to solve it, but I think there'll always be something to solve, and this will be here when you come back later, right? But for now, I think if you want to go back and solve the puzzles that we had. On the ship, we need to go and do that, right? This will be here for you. This is just going to keep puzzling.
And I'm going to use that as our break.
Hi everyone, Lydia here. You may know me as Melanie in Magnus Archives or from Rusty Quill Gaming. I'm here to tell you about this episode's sponsor, The Stormlight Archive, Volume 4, Rhythm of War, by internationally best-selling author, detailed world builder and writer of some of the most fine-tuned systems of magic you will ever read, Brandon Sanderson. This series is perfect for fans of tabletop RPGs. You'll love the aforementioned magic system and encounter some of the coolest places you'll ever read about. Ratcheting up the tensions, big and small, that Sanderson began in the Stormlight Archives Book 1, The Way of Kings, now is the perfect time to pick a side, join the fight, and dive into this New York Times best-selling series. Buy Brandon Sanderson's Rhythm of War, the latest in the New York Times best-selling Stormlight saga. Just search for Rhythm of War wherever books are sold, or visit the link in this episode's description for more information.
And welcome back. So I think at this point I'm going to bounce across to Hamid.
Oh, okay.
So, Hamid, ever since sitting down there, it has been calm and it has been peaceful. Give me a perception check.
19.
After a while, you come to notice that it's growing colder. At first, you think it might just be like a chill wind that'll pass or something, but it's growing consistently colder and colder. And eventually, it reaches the point where it has gone from just, it's a little bit colder, to, if your Endure Elements was not still active, people would be leaving.
Yeah.
Because it is consistently growing colder where you are. Are you eyes closed or are you eyes open?
Probably eyes open.
There is frost starting to emanate from the central space. It is creeping across the ground slowly, but obviously there is a small amount of snowfall and so on, although the area seems to be kept broadly clear. But there is an active ice patch working its way out across the floor of the space. It's not near anyone of the party as of yet, but if it continues going, eventually everyone will have to up and move.
I will glance at the other kobolds just to see how many of them have their eyes open.
None of them. Their breath is like frosting in front of them, but again, Endure Elements is a wonderful spell.
Yeah, yeah. How long has it been, roughly? A couple of hours? A bit longer?
Yeah, about that.
Okay, I will keep my eyes open and watch for the progress, and yeah, if the frost is like, gets a bit closer, I will quietly and politely you know, prod the rest of the kobolds into moving, but I'm not going to disturb them unless I feel like I sort of need to.
I'd say before it reaches that point,
yeah,
you notice a second element, which is hard to tell at first, but it just catches your eye. You notice that a ring of people seems to be very gradually and organically forming at the very, very edge of the circle, so where it sort of turns back into alleys and so on.
Yeah.
You know, one person takes place there, and then another person takes place at the far end, another person over here. And it takes a little while for you to realise, but it appears to only be awakened creatures.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Trees, animals, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they appear to be doing the same sort of thing that happened when it came to the, you know, the route through the city, where yeah. it wasn't people actively, like, bowing heads reverentially, it's just sort of taking positions almost.
Sure.
Similar situation. They seem to be taking positions around the central space. They're not trying to interact in any way, but it has reached the point where it's like, yeah, there's an active crowd forming very, very slowly.
Okay.
At which point I'm going to dive back to the rest of the group. I'm going to start with Zolf. Okay, never have I ever crashed a boat, sorry, ship, and blamed it on someone else.
You know, this game would be a lot more fun if we had something to drink.
What? Yeah, all right. Wild stands. I think there's something left in my cabin.
All right.
He just leads you through to the cabin, opens the door, and then steps into a broad and airy Parisian apartment.
Follow him in.
And then heads in and grabs a drink from a cabinet and starts pouring you both. It seems to be a measure of some kind of spirit.
Oh, this is nicer than I remember it.
Hmm? Oh, this place. It's not all that. You know, it's okay to start with, but big plans. He takes a drink, but oh, it's nice to have somewhere to fall back on, you know, have a bit of a break.
Yeah. Plans?
Oh, yeah, you know. I know I've been doing a lot recently, but I think once I'm out of uni, I really need to look.
All right.
I really need to look towards a career.
Wald.
You know?
I didn't know you when you were at uni.
What?
Hang on. Who am I?
What do you mean, Zolf?
Okay.
She's you.
How did you meet me?
God, you're going way back then. Wald opens the doors to the balcony and then steps out, looking out across the Parisian skyline. I mean, I'm trying to think. I can't remember when we got mates, actually. I know you... Didn't I crash your place one time? Pretty certain I did.
You broke into Hammond's apartment.
Yeah! Yeah, God! Oh, yeah, because I was doing that... Oh, no! I was doing that piece on Bertie, wasn't I?
You were.
God. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
It all just sort of bleeds into itself, doesn't it, a little bit?
Yeah. But you were working for a paper at that time, weren't you?
No, I can't have done, because I've only just finished uni, so...
So why were you writing a piece on Bertie?
Well, it must have been a paper or something, right?
Yeah. So why are you at
Look,
uni?
Look, what's with all the questions, all right? Okay?
Wild.
It's fine. We have all the time in the world.
Okay,
of this stuff that we can do, big plans, but we don't have to do it now.
Wild,
we can just have a moment.
You're dead.
Dark?
No, you are dead. You died. I saw you die.
You've always been very dramatic,
no.
Zolf. You do know that, right? Like, you just... You kind of need to learn to just pull back a little bit. You're very intense all the time.
Wild.
What?
We were in the Vengeance. We went through the Borealis. And the engines went down. And we crash-landed. And you died.
Why are you having to steer this in such a heavy... It's fine. Just have a sit and have a drink for once, Zolf.
I am here to ask you if you want to come back to the world to live again.
And I'm saying it's fine. Like, we have all the time in the world. We can just have a bit of just chill time. Like... Look, if there's one thing that I've learned, okay, it's that it's fine to be ambitious, but sometimes you just need a bit of you time, you know?
I agree with you, but
Fantastic.
I don't want to
so
spend
join me.
Some you time with a version of yourself which isn't real.
Getting very deep here.
How
Zolf,
can you... How...
I just invited you for a drink.
I don't know what sort of state you're in. Obviously, I don't think I can know what sort of state you're in, given the state you're in. But I'm here for a reason, not just to hang out with you. Although that would be nice if we ever got a moment to just hang out.
We do, right now.
No.
Just 5 minutes, Sol, for once. Just for once.
We took 5 minutes, Wild, and now we're in your apartment in Paris?
Fine, where do you want to go? He goes to the front door and opens it onto a park at night. You don't recognise the park.
If you want to go there, let's go there. But we are in a situation. Just to look, either you want to stay here, wherever here is, or maybe move on, wherever that might be, or you want to come back with me.
Give me a sense motive.
Nat 20. So that is a 29.
Wild's getting real angry, and he's hiding it.
Wild, just talk to me honestly. Why are you...
I'll tell you what, I'll talk to you honestly when you talk to me honestly. Just say the words. Wild, we need you to fix it again. Wild, it's gone wrong, help. Wild, solve this problem. Wild, won't take long. Just give me one of them. Just actually talk to me honestly for the first time. Just, what is it? What needs fixing? What's gone wrong? What's on fire? Who died? What do I actually need to fix here? Because right now, this is the first chance I've had in I don't know how long. I got finals coming up. I've got all of the interviews that are lined up on top, and everything's piling up, and all I've got is people asking me to fix things, and I keep doing it, and I keep fixing everything. Brilliant. So, tell me, Zolf. I thought we were friends, but no. What do I need to fix?
You don't.
Do you
want
to cheat off me? Is that it? Do you need to cheat off me? It's fine. Cheat off me, like everyone else does. It's fine.
You don't have uni. You don't have exams. You don't have interviews. You are dead. You have no responsibility anymore, and you don't need to have any responsibility anymore. That's okay. But I'm giving you a simple choice. You come back with me, or you don't. That's it. There is no other motive. Yes, things are broken, and things need to be fixed, and things need to be sorted out, but that doesn't have to be on you. And it shouldn't be just on you. We're all responsible for everything. And you died in pursuit of a fix. And it would not be fair for me to tell you that you have to come back.
So why are you here? Like, what actual point? Why would you not just let it lie then?
To ask you if you want to come back. You didn't choose to die, but you can, right now, choose to stay dead.
Wild just sort of takes a moment, finishes his drink, and just kind of stands there, kind of just absorbing.
I know better than a lot of people that death ain't the end. You know, I'm a cleric, for goodness sake. So there is a natural order to things, and people die and they move on, and that's just how it works.
I'm just tired, Solf, that's all. I'm sorry. I'm just...
I know, Wild. I am tired too.
Everyone thinks that they're carrying this, but they're not. Because you know what happens if they drop the ball? I pick it up and I pass it to someone else. And if no one else is there to pick it up, I carry the ball myself. That's just how this works. And I'm just tired. I'm just so tired, Zolf. I'm just so tired.
Do you really think you're the only person who feels like that? Everyone feels like that all the time. Everyone's tired and everyone has work to do. And
so what, we just go back and carry on until eventually we can't? That's not...
not necessarily. Not if you don't want to. I told you when I first came here, I will turn around and I will go back on my own. And that is fine. That is your choice. But I want you to understand the options.
Just give me a reason, other than because there's something that needs doing. That's all I need. Just one reason, other than there is another job for you, Wild. That's all I need.
Do you want there to be another reason?
What did I just say? Obviously I do, yes.
Fine. Because I need you, Wild.
And there we go. An honest answer from Zolf Smith. Oh, you never thought I'd hear it.
You were just angling for that. You bastard.
No, I wasn't just angling for that, but it's nice to know, right?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say because it wouldn't be fair.
Oh, nothing's fair. Look at it.
Fine. Do you want to come back, or don't you? Like, yeah, I've said it, I know, but it's still your choice.
Here's the plan. We're going to finish up these drinks. We go out there, and then we just... we'll figure it out. We always do. It's fine. It's just useful to know I'm not just beating my head against the wall for no reason, Zolf, you know?
Look, and I will grab him by the lapels and pull him down to my height. When this is all done, we'll go on holiday or something.
Where?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know where he's going to be left after all this is done, but somewhere
nice. Give me a
sense
motive before I continue.
Ooh. 11.
You're fairly certain you've already won him over and that he's messing with you by this point. Zolf, I won't come back with you unless you tell me where we're going on holiday together.
You're such a dick. Come on.
I'm going to use that opportunity to bounce to Azu.
All right.
So Carter's been scritching away, and you feel like you've hit a bit of a static point. The best way to describe it is you just have the instinct that nothing here is going to change unless you make the change happen. You're at a fixed point.
I mean, I had that idea anyway. All right, so he's drawing. So Azu's going to say, Howard, What do you remember?
Apparently nothing.
No, I mean, how did you get here?
Oh, well, you know, I always come here. It's the only place people leave me alone.
Oh. I'm sorry I'm not leaving you alone.
Yeah, it's all right, you're all right.
Oh.
I mean, it helps that you're proper scary, so if anyone tries to pick a fight with me, I'll just, you know, point at you.
I will happily fight anyone who tries
really?
To hurt you. Yes.
Would you fight a bear?
Oh, yes.
Really? Would you fight two bears?
I'd try.
What if both the bears had, like, swords?
Well, I've got several axes.
And four arms, but, each.
Look, the point is, Howard, do you want to come out from under that bench for a moment?
Not really, because if I do, everyone's just going to yell at me again, so I'm fine, I'll just stay here.
I just told you I'd fight bears for you. You think I can't fight them off?
Well, yeah, but... You're not going to be here forever. And then he's just going to be yelling again. It's just going to be, Carter, you don't know what a declen... Whatever it is. Don't do that, it's annoying. Don't eat that, you'll be sick. Maybe I want to be sick, okay? Sometimes, you know, it can be in, like, how do I know? How am I going to know unless I'm allowed to, you know?
Well, it sounds like you quite like breaking rules.
It's just not that I like breaking rules, it's just most of the rules are stupid. Thought of by stupid people.
Look, she's gonna like reach her hand out across the floor, and she's gonna be like, "Why don't you come out? And if anyone yells at you, I'll hit them with my axe."
What do I do
sound?
When you're not there? You can't hit everyone with an axe. I know. I've tried.
Well, you are quite small. How about you just try it, hmm?
So what you're saying is, because I'm small and you're big, I should climb out of this bench?
No. I'm saying that right now, you can depend on me to protect you. And I'd quite like to see you stand up.
You don't need my help, though. Look at you. Like you said, you got your big like axe and your big armor and your all of that. It's just... I don't bring in, like, I'll just stay here, it's fine. I get it, I'm useless, I don't have anything to help or do, so I can just stay here at least out of the way, it's fine, I get it. It's not nice, but I get it, it's fine.
You're very young, Howard. Nothing stays the same forever.
Meaning what?
Maybe if you come out, something will change.
So if I just... Wait. Okay, hang on. So what you're saying is if I come out from under here, I change. But what if I change worse? I'm hearing a lot of, how would I want you to come out from under the bench?
Good. That's...
There's no point. I don't just want to do what I'm told. I want to do what I want to do. I'm sick of doing what I'm told. No one ever told me to do anything good. People always ever just told me to do stuff that I'm rubbish at. And every time I do stuff that I'm rubbish at, they just tell me to do it more. And then they get annoyed at me for being rubbish at it. But I'm only rubbish at it because they told me to do it. If they hadn't told me to do it, I wouldn't have known I was rubbish. If I wasn't rubbish, they wouldn't be annoyed. So people are just telling me to do things that will make them annoyed. If I climb out from under the bench, you're just going to be annoyed. Same as everyone else.
I won't be this time, I promise. Please?
No need to say please. You're massive and I'm really small. It's fine.
I'm not going to drag you.
Fine, what? Howard just sort of pokes out from under the bench and just stands in front of you. Child Howard is a little streak of nothing. Like, Child Howard is tiny. Mm. Big mop of hair, tiny everything else.
Aww.
And he's just there holding all of his, like, messy books really angrily and just looking at you. What? I'm here. What?
As he sits up, because she was previously lying on her front, wasn't she? So Asa sits up and she goes, do you want to be in this room? You said you...
No, it's rubbish! But it's the only place I can be!
I can show you other places, if you like.
And you promise no one's going to be annoyed at me for just being there?
So Howard's a kid at the moment.
Yes.
If there was an adult there, someone would see Asu look really hecking sad. And then she's going to say, everyone will be really pleased to see you, actually, I think.
That seems to upset him. Not in a, like, a that's awful way, but in a... No, they won't. No one's ever happy to see me.
I am.
Well, yeah, but you're different, because you're, like, you know, cool.
I only hang out with cool people.
So, Howard kind of preens himself just a little bit and stands up a little bit straighter. And in the act of standing up straighter, just seems to age up. Not in a like, oh, how horrifying, but more like somehow you find yourself staring in front of now a young teen instead of a very young child.
Mm.
Really?
Oh, yes. Everyone I know is very cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, what kind of things do you all get up to? He's continuing to sort of... progress, let's say.
I know two people who can make things explode.
Really?
Oh, yes.
At this point, you're a young man, Carter. Not necessarily the slightly older man, Carter, that you know, but you're getting there.
I know someone who got hit by lightning, like, 3 times.
Wow!
Still had loads of hit points.
At this point, if I may, I'm going to suggest that if you were to be leading Howard away from the room whilst talking, he would be following you too engrossed in what you were saying to realise.
Before Asa goes on, though, she's going to say, but you're sure you want to come with me, yes?
Well, yeah, obviously.
And you don't want to be here?
This is rubbish. No one's been struck by lightning here. And I've been here ages.
All right then, Howard. Why don't you come along? I'll tell you all about a group of people I know who are excellent at building things. You wouldn't believe the things that they can do. And so fast. And she keeps telling him about various other members of the crew. And
at which point then, I am going to jump across to Cell.
Yep.
So, last thing we heard is this is an unfixable problem.
Yep.
Sasra just kind of puts a pair of flasks down angrily. In fact, one of them shatters a little bit. Cracks, let's say.
Right.
And Sasra turns to you and looks, as if from nowhere, properly upset. You know that you can't just leave it unfixed. You have to solve the problem. If you don't solve the problem, then it's just going to get worse. So we've got to solve it, because if we don't solve it, then it's just going to get worse. So if we just do this now, then we can go back. It'd be fine.
Sasra, I know exactly how you feel, right? I do. I know that sometimes you feel you need to solve the thing and you can't think of anything else until that thing is done. But,
great!
But what I've learned... And I'm so old, Sasra. I am so old. I have learned so many things so slowly, right? Sometimes things don't get finished, right? And that has to be okay.
Yeah, but I can finish it if you just help. We get this done, and then we can
go
back.
We've done it, Sasha. We fixed the first problem, and then another problem came, and then another, and this is...
Yeah, but if we finish this, it'll fix all the problems.
It won't, Sasha. What I'm saying is that this is endless, and that's fine, right? If you want to solve these problems forever. But there are other kinds of problems back on the bear, back where we were, you know? And those problems... I think that we work really well together. And, I mean, you have to remember that, of course, while we don't obviously show tons of time of them hanging out, it has been explicitly said that, like,
Sel hangs out with
Sasra doing, like, detailed work, that while Sasra was in Earhart's body, they sat there with the logic puzzles. Like, they've spent a lot of time together. So it's that kind of, like, weird. But it's like, we don't show that. But
it's right here. It's right here. We're so close. I'm sure, like, it, maybe
Sasra reaches out and sort of grabs two completely different components. Like, I know that if we just, like, and then it's just so close.
The thing about these puzzles, right, is that they always lead to other things, and that's what being is, right? I thought that was like what being alive is like, but it seems it's even bigger than that. Is that whatever you do, it becomes something else, and that's great. You don't get to get a completion score, though, always on problems. And I think this... Look, I feel like there were other things that we left unfinished. And you can choose to stay here. These are some really cool problems. You've got really incredible equipment here. I mean, I have never seen a flask as big as that. and the spiralizing on that... Wait, no. I'm not going to focus on all of the... That's really cool as well. I think... No! Okay, Sasra, this place is cool. It's wonderful. And I'm so happy that it's here for you. But there are other really cool problems and your friends. And I hope I'm your friend. And we can do more stuff back on the ship. So it's a choice, Sasra. But there's... I can't. We won't be able to finish this, right? It's not a you fix it and then you move on to the other thing. You don't get to complete everything. You're gonna have to choose. And either choice is fine. They're both valid puzzles.
Sasra kind of takes a moment and puts the two components down and just gives a bit of a... This'll still be here, won't it? It'll still be here.
I'm pretty sure this or something like it even better.
Sasra gives you a sidelong glance. Give me a sense motive.
Okay, now that is... Oh, this is not Sel's strong point. 7.
Oof. Gives you a sidelong glance that could mean anything.
Yeah.
I'll make you a deal.
Okay.
We don't solve this now.
Right.
But you and me solve this later, you know, when we get time. You know, we've dealt with everything else. It's all done. It's all solved. We can come back here and finish this together.
Sasra, I would like nothing else better in the entire world.
You promise?
I promise.
Wait. Hang on. Come here. Sasra kind of gestures with a tongue. No, closer. Closer.
Yep.
Right, close.
Okay.
Sasra reaches out and plucks the fang from behind your ear.
Yeah.
We should go back.
Yep. Cool.
And I think I should end the episode there rather than return to Hamid. We'll leave that for another week.
Aww. But
well done, all of you.
Thank you.
There was a version of events where you wouldn't all manage it, and I thought I'd give you a challenge you can't solve with a dice or, quote, all the hit points.
I think we don't need hit points. All of us are just like, Zolf, tell Wild that you like him. Tell him he's your friend.
Oh, you did come close. You did come close, but...
I know.
It's all good. Well, I'm happy to say that, slight spoilers, we shall be returning to the quote-unquote real world next week. But until then, bye, everyone.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
This is wonderful. What are you making?
Okay, question. So I have here. I've gone air hot cobalt again. Why? Why?
Okay, one sec. Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons: Eddie Ryan, Nihon, Anna Kiselovich, Jade Rose Fulford, Andrea Jones, Ashley McManus, Kate Schwichtenberg, Eric Magnusson, Kyle Jet Peterson, Stripey Tail, C. Porter, Number 9, Deandra Mazura, Isaac Passad, and every patron who has ever supported us. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate your support. And thanks for listening.